Father, thank you for today and your goodness and your grace. Thank you that you're an amazing God. Thank you that your grace is incredible. It is amazing. Father, we just sing that last song and we stand in awe of you as we do it. And we thank you that you are this God who loves us. You're also the holy God, the creator God. You're the God of grace. And Father, today as we continue in this series of walking with you through the seasons of life, God, I pray that you will speak to us today as we deal with something that all of us deal with. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you remember a time when you were really afraid? I mean, really afraid. What did that feel like? Without a doubt, this was my most fearful moment I can remember. I've shown it to you before, but when I think about fear, this is the one. This is up at the Kokosila River up island. And years ago now, Chris was probably 6 or 7. Eric was then 8 or 10, and it had been snowing, and we said, let's go up to the Kokosila River area and find somewhere to go tobogganing. And so we parked, and we walked across that logging road bridge, and we went up, and we had a great time. We were tobogganing. It was wonderful. And then we came back, and all this was covered with snow. And if you notice over on the right side here, there's that little hill. Well, we were ahead of Chris. And suddenly we heard this noise, and Chris had gone up on that hill and put down his little toboggan and was coming down and was going straight across the road, and show the next slide, and he was heading right for this opening. If he had gone through that opening, he would have gone over a 100-foot cliff into a raging river. Okay. Kim, the mic. Hey, yeah. Never mind, Kim. He's rescuing me. All right. Okay, we're going to try this. Here we go. All right, way better. Put this in here. Sorry about this. This obviously will not be the one that goes on the internet. All right. But anyway, so I'm here and I'm standing and I'm paralyzed with fear as I'm watching my son go across this logging road heading direct towards that opening and his death. And my wife's standing there, and I've never been gripped like fear like I was in that moment. And the only thing I was thinking, and this proves that love overcomes fear, is in that moment, if he goes through, I'm right after him. I'm going in after him. Even if I die, I'm going to try to rescue him. And I don't know what happened. I'm thinking it's the hand of God. At the last moment, his sled veered to the right, and he hit that concrete embutment. And I was like, oh. But without a doubt, when you talk about fear, that was my most fearful moment. How often do you experience fear? How often do you experience fear? Have you noticed that we humans, we're a fearful bunch? Have you noticed that? We have all kinds of fears. We fear about our safety. We fear about death. We fear being alone. We fear about loss, loss of a boyfriend, loss of a girlfriend, loss of a spouse, loss of our youth, loss of our mind, loss of our money, Lindsay's case, loss of his hair, loss of our job, loss of our house. We fear losing control. We have an unlimited list of things we fear. And then there's the phobias, right? Phobias of height, insects, snakes, flying, germs, dentists, crowds. We fear the unknown. If you're waiting for test results from the doctor and your feet are firmly planted in midair, that's a horrible and fearful place. And we fear the dark. I don't know if you've ever watched Kelvin or read Kelvin and Hobbes. You know, as soon as the lights go off, Kelvin is sure that there's a monster drooling under his bed. We fear. Fear is a universal part of being human. It's impossible as a human being not to fear because we're created to fear. Some fear is good. Some fear is healthy. Some fear keeps you alive. The problem is,
too many of us fear too much. You see, fear wants to be your boss. It wants to control you. And too often, that is exactly what happens. Too often, fear wins. It grips us. It controls us. And when it does that, it takes the joy right out of our life. And so the question is there a way to be less fearful? Is there a way to fear less? You probably know that Jesus talked a lot about fear. In fact, he said a lot, fear not and don't be afraid. And I know some of you are sitting here this morning saying, thanks, Jesus, that's really helpful. And yet, if Jesus told us to fear not, there must be a way to experience less fear. And so here's what we're going to do this morning is, as we continue in this series, Walking with Jesus Through the Seasons of Life, we're going to walk with Jesus through the seasons of fear, and we're going to do that by looking quickly at three stories in the Gospels, and then we're going to draw some lessons out of those stories, and then we're going to move to the communion table. We're going to start by looking at Matthew 10, and if you were here a few weeks ago, you'll remember that we were looking at the beginning of Matthew 10. Let me remind you about the beginning of Matthew 10. At the beginning of Matthew 10, Jesus gave his disciples authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick, and then he sent them out to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven had come near, and they were to demonstrate that message, and they were to heal by dent. The way they were going to demonstrate that message is by going out and healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out demons. And then if you remember, we went over to Luke 10, but it also says this in Matthew 10. Jesus gave specific instructions about how to go out, how to go into a town, what to take, where to find a person of peace. And we stopped there. But if you go on in Matthew 10, Jesus says, oh, by the way, as you go out, as you follow my instructions, as you go out to proclaim about the kingdom of God, here's what's going to happen. Look at verse 16, Matthew 10. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death. And a father is child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm till the end will be saved. What an incredibly encouraging portion of Scripture, eh? Did you notice, because I had them highlighted, the when and the wills? Yikes! Look at verse 17. You will, this is not an option for these disciples that were going out. You will be flogged. Flogging was a horrible thing. It was being whipped. You were scarred permanently after being flogged. You could die from flogging. Verse 19 says, when, not if, when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say. I will give you the words to say. The Spirit will speak through you. I don't know about you, but if I'm one of those first disciples, here's what I'm thinking. If I'm arrested, I don't want to be given the words to say. I want to get out of jail free card. Right? I mean, if God can give me the words to say, why can't he get me out of jail? Or I'm thinking, even better, if God knows I'm going to be arrested, flogged, and put on trial, why doesn't he prevent me from being arrested in the first place? Listen, this is so important for us to understand. Jesus doesn't promise a pain-free, problem-free life. pain-free and problem-free are not a promise Jesus makes to us. And then you notice verse 21. Your family may reject you. You may be betrayed by a brother, child, or parent. You may be put to death. And then look at verse 23. And oh, by the way, you will be hated. Doesn't that sound like a fun time? Like, sign me up. And then look at verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Do not be afraid. Jesus, I'm about to be beaten and flogged. I know, don't be afraid. I'm about to be arrested and put on trial. I know, don't be afraid. My family might reject me. People are going to hate me. I know. Don't be afraid. Jesus, I might die. I know. Don't be afraid. Look again at verse 28. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Don't be afraid of those that can kill the body. Kill the body? Don't be afraid of that. Jesus, I need my body. If I don't have my body, I'll die. One of the things we value as human beings is life, right? So it isn't surprising that many of our fears are the fear of death in disguise. And here Jesus is saying, don't fear those who can kill the body. Why? Because Jesus knew that Easter was coming. Remember 2 weeks ago, Easter? Jesus burst out of the grave and said, I've got the keys. You don't need to be afraid. One more time, verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Notice, we're supposed to fear someone. We're supposed to fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul. In other words, we're supposed to fear God. And then Jesus says this in verse 29. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than any sparrows. Jesus argues here, if your Father cares about insignificant sparrows, think about how much more he cares for you. Jesus was telling those early disciples, and he's telling us, when you face trouble, remember, your Father cares deeply for you. That's story one. I'm going to go to story two. Over in Mark 6 is where we find our second story. Let me set the scene for you. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, and then he hiked up this hillside. And while he was hiking up this hillside, his disciples were heading out across a lake in a boat. And Jesus looked, and he saw that his disciples were really struggling, rowing against the wind. Let's pick up the story, Matthew 6, 48. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed. Jesus saw his disciples were in trouble, so he decided just to walk on water out to them. And then you notice what it says. He says, he was about to pass by them. Like, where was he going? Do you ever think of this stuff? Like, where are you heading, Jesus? Like, what's going on? And it's the disciples were terrified. And then Jesus shouted, because he would have had to shout over the wind. He shouted to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And then he climbed into the boat and the wind died down. And it says the disciples were completely amazed. How are you, if you're a disciple, not afraid at this moment? This guy we're following, this rabbi, just walked on water to us, talked to us, got in the boat, and the storm calmed. How does that not just freak you out? And let's go back to what Jesus called out. I want you to see this. This is something that's easy to miss. He says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. The middle phrase there, it is I, in the original language, is two words, I am. Jesus said, take courage, I am, don't be afraid. Remember when God encountered Moses at the burning bush? There God said to Moses this in Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. I am is an interpretation of God's name, Yahweh. It tells us that God is the one who has always existed. He's the ever-living, everlasting, ever-present one. It tells us that God is the eternal one who is above all and beyond all and greater than all. He is the one who causes to be. He is the ultimate source of everything that was and is and will be. Do you see what Jesus was telling those men in the boat? He was saying, take courage. I am the everlasting, eternal God who is above all and before all and greater than all, and I am with you. Do not be afraid. When we are filled with fear, we need to remember that I am is with us. Now, our third story, we jump over to Mark 4. It's another storm on a lake story. Jesus has spent a long day teaching, and he was tired, and he needed some rest. So he said to his disciples, let's get in a boat and get away from these people and go over the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And they got in a boat at dusk, and they headed out across the lake. And once they were on the lake, this hurricane-like storm came, and these tough, rugged fishermen were gripped with fear. Meanwhile, Jesus was asleep at the back of the boat. The fishermen are fearing, they're panicking, and Jesus is sleeping. And here's something, it's just a little squirrel moment here. Here's something we need to remember. Even though Jesus was sleeping, he was right there with those disciples in the middle of that storm. And you need to know that when you're going through a storm, Jesus is right there with you in the middle of it. And in verse 25, it says the disciples went and woke him and said, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And notice how Jesus responded, verse 26, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Why are we so afraid? The storm, Jesus, the storm. Storms kill people, Jesus. You're sleeping. Why are we afraid? Dumb question, Captain Obvious. And Jesus says, I know about the storm, but why are you afraid? After all you've seen me do, you still have no faith? Your Father cares about you. Don't you believe that? And verse 26, then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves and it was completely calm. Jesus calmed the storm and now the disciples are terrified. They ask, what kind of a man is this? What kind of a man can calm a storm? A man who says, I am. That's who. Three stories. Let me just pull some lessons out and then we'll come to the table. Here's lesson number one I think we need to know. Fear is real, and we all experience it. Fear is real, and we all experience it. Every single one of us. You know, if you're a Christ follower, don't feel guilty for experiencing fear. I think sometimes Christ followers feel guilty when they're fearful because the Bible says, fear not, and I'm fearing, and the Bible says, fear not, thus I must be doing something wrong, and so I feel guilty. Listen, don't feel guilty for being human. You're human. you're going to experience fear. But if you're finding your fear is winning in your life, if you're finding that fear is controlling you, here's a question you need to ask. How am I going to deal with my fear? Don't let fear deal with you. Rather, deal with your fear. Fear is real, and we're all going to experience it. That's lesson one. Lesson two, Jesus never said, don't be afraid, I won't let bad things happen to you. That is not the message of Jesus. Jesus doesn't promise to keep us safe from all bad things. Bad things are going to happen to good people. The message of Jesus is don't be afraid when bad things happen. To do that, you need to have your focus on and your trust and confidence in God, which leads to lesson three. Focus on the who, not the what. Focus on the who, not the what. In Mark 4, the disciples went from fearing a what, the storm, a thing that could kill the body, to fearing a who, Jesus, the one who calms the storm. A someone had replaced a something. This is how you experience less fear in your life. Focus on the one who is present with you rather than the storm that's going on around you. We all experience fear. What is important is where we turn or to whom we turn when we are afraid. When you find yourself, and maybe right now today you're finding yourself in the midst of a fearful situation, remember this, Jesus, the eternal, everlasting God who is above all and before all and greater than all, the one who cares deeply for you is right there with you in the midst of the storm, and he's saying, it's okay. Focus on me, not the thing or the person that's causing you to fear. And when we focus on him, we will find that he is bigger and stronger and more powerful than any fear we are facing. When your faith in someone exceeds your fear of something, fear loses its grip. It may not vanish completely from your life, but it loses its grip. I've talked in years past about my struggle with anxiety, and really anxiety is just fear, right? We all know that. And when I pursue Jesus and when I focus on him, when I stop myself and I'm still before him and I know that he is God, when I focus on him and not my situation, fear loses its grip on me. And I find myself less nervous, less anxious, less fearful. When your faith in someone exceeds your fear of something, fear loses its grip. Here's the last lesson, lesson four. We're supposed to fear God. We need to fear the one who has the ability to kill the soul and the body, the one who can calm the storm, the one who can walk on water. And to fear God means to respect him and obey him. It means acknowledging him to be your creator and your sustainer and your savior and your king. I love what Proverbs 14:26 says. It says this, he who fears the Lord has a secure focus, and for his children, it will be a refuge. That's because when you fear the Lord, there's not much else to fear, right? When you fear the Lord, there's not much else to fear. Let me ask you this question. Where's your fear level today? Low, medium, high, scale of 1 to 10, where's your fear level today? If your fear level is up there, Jesus is whispering to you right now, fear not. I am is with you. I got this. And some of you need to hear those words this morning. You need to hear Jesus whisper to you because you're gripped with fear. Fear is controlling your life. You need to hear Jesus say to you this morning, fear not. I am is with you. I got this. You need to turn your focus from your circumstances to the one who controls all. And as we come to the communion table, Augustine said this, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee, O God. I want to change that a little bit. Our hearts are fearful until they find their rest in thee, O God. And as you come to the table today, the risen Jesus wants to encounter you. These elements just don't tell of a past event. They tell of a present reality that Jesus is alive and he's risen and he wants to encounter you today. And so as we remember what Jesus has done, as we remember what Jesus is doing, as we remember who Jesus is, as we come to the table, Jesus today wants to encounter you and give you his hope and his peace and his rest and his insurance. The question is, will you let him encounter you? When your fear of when your faith in someone exceeds your fear of something, fear loses its grip.